Okay, great. Nick Roush, Kentucky Sports Radio. I don't even know where to begin with you. let's go with that Tennessee video.
Speaking of alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, that was just abysmal.
So here's the thing, Mike. That wasn't even my that was my our good friend Stephen Peake. He wanted to bring that up because he had to live with you Neanderthals in Knoxville for so long. But his overall point is, I think, the correct one, and that's Tennessee is better than Kentucky. Just act like I'm not a Kentucky guy. Let's just say it's Johnny California is talking to you right now, and if you think that you are among the top programs in college football, you're not. You're in that tier below that's good on a given year, but you're not great. That's how it works. You won one national title back in 98. Since then, you've been to one conference championship game. Your record's like what? Like 600, something like that? There's plenty of bad, plenty of good. The consistency hasn't been there. It's a notch below the elite of the elite. You're not Bama. You're not Georgia. But you know what? A good year, you can go to the playoff. And even with a volleyball player at quarterback. So you know what? Hats off to you guys. You did it. You did the playoff last year. Boy, I think the overall point that my man Peake wanted to make that I think is a great question for you guys, Heupel definitely bought himself some time with that playoff, but at what point are you going to want more? What point does it need to feel like 98 again?
We make the playoffs and he's ready to fire him.
I was about to say, for a Kentucky guy, he sure knows a lot of Tennessee stats, doesn't he?
Yeah, I love it. Well, I mean, he's tagged in a lot.
A lot. But I will say, though, that the whole Nico thing, I was giggling. It was Kentucky's spring game, whatever you want to call it. It was a bullcrap waste of time. But I was in the press box, and it made me so happy. But then I got so mad because you all weren't mad enough. I found it to be a masterclass with Heupel using his political capital that he gained from all the success to be like, listen, we're not going to run our program that way. And I think it was kind of smart too, because what Nico showed you, he wasn't good enough to put the team on his back, because that was what was going to have to happen this year, right? Is Nico was going to have to do it all, and I just don't think he's capable of that.
Let me ask you, so we'll switch gears back to your team.
Come on. We were having fun. We don't need to talk about my team.
But I do want to – the one thing that stands out to me is this is – you know, Kentucky has been close. They've had years.
Yes,
They've been fringe, you know. But I feel like this is the first year we're really not talking about a quarterback, even though Calzada, not too long ago, we were all talking about him. You know, is that a good thing that maybe people are shitting on Kentucky right now?
Yes. Because it is funny that, you know, I mentioned the tiers. You have the top one, and then you have that second one where you're 8 to 10 win seasons. Kentucky was getting into that. They were getting into that conversation regularly, and now they're back down 3 or 4, right? Like they're, and to your point, that I think that's where Mark Stoops is at his best. When there's doubters out there, when there's people who don't believe in him, and it used to just be people here around the SEC. Now it's within the own fan base who doesn't know if Stoops can get it done. And I'm here to tell you guys that there's not any sort of star player that I can single out like I did in the past, like, oh, Dane Key, oh, Will Levis, Wandell Robinson. Like, they don't have the star power, and that's what's going to hurt this team. But I do think they're going to get back to playing that Mark Stoops football, that physical, hard nose. We're not going to shoot ourselves in the foot all the time. And each week they're going to be hard out. So what does that look like against this difficult schedule? You know, it's top 10 in the country, third or fourth toughest in the SEC. I don't know. I think I'd be an idiot if I was going to say, oh, 7-8 wins, that's coming around the corner. But to your point, when you least expect it, some fans are just like, oh, this is the end. We're going to end it now. He's not going to give them that sweet satisfaction. He's going to pull off a few upsets, and they're going to be in that 5-6 win territory.
And that's when Kentucky started to slide a little bit. That's when it happened, when they got away from that.
Yes.
And they got a little bit of a country club mentality.
I think
they wanted to do different things on offense. If he's going to go down, I think he's got to go down his way that he knows has worked in Lexington. So I'm starting to see why they're saying he's so motivated.
it's happening. You're going to see that motivation all over his face on Thursday. But part of it is they went out and he's doing the same, but in a little bit different way, right? Kentucky early on had a lot of success in the portal, getting guys at power programs that either underperformed or in the wrong role. Wandale Robinson, they were playing a running back in Nebraska. Scott Frost, what an idiot, right? Will Levis was kind of a cast off at Penn State, had a lot of success at Kentucky, but that formula wasn't working as well. So you know what? We're going to go get all conference players from a lower level. We've seen it. We know they're good. There's tape of them winning at Auburn with their left tackle, Shias Pete. Alex Wolfschlager is their right tackle, who has been an all-conference player in the MAC for a couple of years, played at A&M a year ago, performed well. So that, I think, is smart, to take a little bit of a different approach to the portal to plug all your holes. And I really like what they did in the trenches on both sides, but there is a big glaring problem here. Because I like Calzada a lot. I don't know who he's going to throw it to. That's the real issue at hand.
Were you? I don't want to say glad because nobody's glad, but was it cancer in the locker room? I mean I've heard that there was a little bit of a riff that happened in that locker room.
Oh yeah,
last
yeah,
year.
And some of it was mismanagement of NIL. You know, you pay the wrong players, right? That happens sometimes, and then when things go wrong, people start pointing fingers. And so the roster reset needed to happen. They needed to clean house. They got, I lost track of count. But at one point, it was only 40% of their roster from last year was still around. And a lot of those guys weren't even playing, right? They were the redshirt freshmen who you're kind of hoping to build things around. But what I do like about getting those cast-offs from the G5 level, this is basically their NFL trial. Right, they have one season to go prove themselves. Go do it. And the other thing too is they're older, right? Like some of these other guys, they're 19-year-old sophomores, maybe, who they had a good freshman year, so now they're the cock of the walk. Well, no. You're getting some old guys who are all business. This dude, they got this guy from Arkansas, Josh Braun. He was all SEC there as a guard 2 years ago. This dude is about to get his second degree, and then he's going to seminary school afterwards. He's married, you know, like he is a grown ass man. So I think those guys will be able to identify with Stoops where he wants this blue collar Youngstown hard nose approach in a way that, like you said earlier, Mike, they took a risk and got away from what made them good, and it was a bad one. It was a bad poker hand, and they lost all their chips.
Well, speaking of clearing house, I got to ask, Vince going to Louisville.
Oh.
What was that all about?
So that was the – of all of the black eyes of the offseason, that was the biggest PR hit you could have. Because everybody loved Vince. Like he is – if in my lifetime, I can't name many assistant coaches, period. So he – basketball, football, whatever. He might have been the most popular assistant coach at Kentucky in three decades. But you kind of look around and you say, well, his tight ends never really got any better. And you're taking 15 guys from Ohio. Well, what if only five of them end up working out, right? Like, so the big question you had to, like, that I find myself asking is how much of that locker room situation was he helping or hurting? Because for a long time, he was helping, right? Lynn Bowden was going to quit the team, but Vince, you know, he took care of it, right? And then Lynn Bowden, they put him in at quarterback, and then all that happened, right? You saw history made. So for the longest time, he played a very vital role. But as we get into NIL and revenue sharing, how important is that guy as your recruiter? You know, and for him personally, I think some of it is looking around at, all right, if I got to get out, how can I get out? I'm a $1 million recruiter. There aren't many places that are paying $1 million recruiters. And so Louisville made sense because he could still do his recruiting stuff in Ohio, and it's with the rival. The funniest part of it all is he's still trying to play nice with Kentucky fans, and it's just like, Vince, you dumped us for our other ex. Like, you can't, what is going on here? You can't be doing that. So it was an off-the-record conversation. So, you know, I'll just say that there are some people in the locker room who definitely have a reason to really, really want to beat Louisville now. We'll say that. If they did it before, they definitely do now.
Yeah,
there was a lot of cope in there. You know, tight ends suck. Ohio.
A lot of cope. And the thing is, like, I like Vince. He's a great guy. This was a good jumping off point for him. But a lot of it ultimately boiled down to him and Stoops. Their just relationship was just, it was over. I mean, if it wasn't all the way over, it was getting there. It's different when you've known somebody since you were a kid. But I always likened it to my next door neighbor in high school. Right? He moved into middle school. We were best friends. We went everywhere for a while. But eventually, you kind of got to do your own thing, right? You don't always want to be seen with the other guy. In this case, Vince thought that Mark wasn't giving him enough credit. Mark thought Vince was getting too much credit. And it just bubbled and boiled over to the point where I don't even think they were talking. And so eventually this move felt inevitable. I like it because it just adds more fire to everything. And the funniest part of it all is when Vince left, they had one commitment. And then, you know, 2 weeks later they got 15. And then now they got a quarterback who's the highest ranked quarterback they've had committed in a very, very long time.
Hey, well, speaking of credit, I got to give credit to Kentucky Sports Radio. You guys were the ones that broke the news of this SEC series on Netflix. Now, they gave us a little preview viewing last night. What was your reaction now that you've seen kind of some of the final product?
Shane, I just can't believe we get to talk to a rock star, Netflix star.
I know, right?
Look at that. Well, Netflix
we get
star.
In an elevator. She goes, didn't we just see you on TV? I was like, oh, God.
I know. It's going to go
we'll
to
his, never get
his
that
head's going to be bigger than yours before too long. I got to say, I'm usually out on stuff like that. I don't like contemporary sports documentaries. I saw the South Carolina LSU game last year. It was awesome. I don't need to go see it again. But this is good. And it's coming out at the perfect time. Like, give us some football in August before. Yeah. Because Hard Knocks, I don't know about y'all. Hard Knocks just, it doesn't do it for me like it used to. Maybe the first episode.
I don't know what happened. I think it was after Gruden, I stopped. It was just something about it. I fell out of love with it.
Not the same. It's great because.
It reminds me of that buzz that Last Chance You gave us.
Yeah. And,
remember?
And that buzz wore off quickly. This one won't wear off as quickly. And the part of it, too, that to see even just the preview shots of them storming the field for Vandy, Alabama, you're just like, oh, God. And it's seeing even other teams have those big wins and those big moments where the stakes are high and everybody's cussing each other on the sidelines. Like, it brings you back to the moments where you got to experience them. And you know what? I haven't got to experience a lot of them as a Kentucky fan lately, but I tell you what, in Oxford last year, my shit did not stink. I had, them college drunks, they were ready to punch me in the face because I was just, oh, man, I tell you what, there is no drug better than winning on the road in the SEC. That is just, just hook me up to an IV. Give me that.
Well, speaking of winning on the road in the SEC, one thing I was sitting behind Nick at that screening, and you know, South Carolina famously went into Kentucky, big win, and that turned both seasons in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
But everything Shane Beamer said, you know, Nick and his crew, their heels were cackling. They were cackling. They could care less how cheesy
Dude, him,
corny
him
he was.
Writing all of his bulletin board material on the wall is the most Shane Beamer thing I've ever heard. Like, dude. These coaches, they're all thin-skinned millionaires, but he really takes it to another level. And I just, the attaboys, I can't do it with him, right? I can't do it with him. But I have to give him credit. The dude is coaching some ball, Mr. November.
Yeah.
I mean, and for him, I was thinking about it, guys. The last time we were in Atlanta, it was the sunglass gate. That's when that happened. And you've seen the direction each program has taken since then. And a lot of it is because Beamer is able to get everybody on the same page and to go block a kick, right? And to have your backup quarterback come in and get you in position to win a football game. And that's what Kentucky's got to get back to, is just getting everybody on that same page.
Well, you mentioned Stormy Field. I remember firing off a tweet during the Pruitt days saying, I miss storming the fields. Obviously, my fat ass ain't getting out there, but I enjoyed watching the young kids get out there, pull down the goal. But when you just can't bottle that up.
And that's for as much as I hate it, and I got to do it every other year, and maybe that'll change when the schedule changes. But, God, the day that Kentucky goes down to Neyland Stadium and I get to be there on the field after they win that game. Oh, God, there's going to be nothing like it. The time, though, that really when Kentucky snapped the streak at Florida, I was there for that one. And the press box there is outdoor. You're undercover, but you're outdoor. And I was sore the next day because my body was so tense. Like, oh, my God, are they going to do this? Are they going to do this? That's what Mark Stoops has given Kentucky fans like me. He's given us some unforgettable moments. But and that's why we're in such a tough spot, because you're like, Mark, why are you doing this to us? You gave us so much. Don't ruin all of that goodwill. And part of that is because he's been so bad at home. And I hate that I don't have the stat memorized for y'all, but I think it was the last Power Conference home win they had was against Florida when Ray Davis ran for 225 yards back in 2023. Yeah. I want to say it's 10 or 11 straight. Dude, you're paying that much money to have season tickets go to these games. You got to win some home games. And the hard part is
let's read them here. Toledo, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. That's a big one.
Yeah.
And I'm picking Kentucky to beat Ole Miss last year. I'm picking Kentucky to beat Ole Miss this year. It's Austin Simmons' first start on the road. They got to have – they're retooling a lot there. And that game, Stoops has played Ole Miss, I want to say, four times, and none of them have been decided by more than 3 points. It's always a close game between those two teams. If Kentucky's going to be the team that I think they can be, it's not a great team, they're beating Ole Miss. And here's the other one for you guys. I'm not going to do it because I can't do this to myself. Tennessee-Kentucky is going to go down to the wire. Y'all are going to be sweating in the fourth quarter.
He's cleaned it up. I've heard other takes of his this offseason. He's guaranteed a Kentucky win in that one.
See, that's the thing. I can't go get all the way there because I know how that story ends. I mean, the one that really got me was Daniel Petulia tackling Bowden right there. It's like, oh, Bowden was going to do it. There's so close. But there's plenty more. Eric Ainge, that overtime, that's what made me hate Tennessee. I had to sit next to your stupid band and hear you go, woo, woo, and then to blow that in overtime. But the thing, like, just from an X's and O's matchup, how's Tennessee going to win the games this year? Play defense, run the football, right? They are one of the teams that is willing to get in a rock fight with Kentucky, just like Georgia was a year ago. And Georgia, they should have lost that game. You are talking about all-time bad calls, overturning that pick six. I mean, Kentucky should have beat the number one team in the country last year, but I digress. Back to the original point. Tennessee is going to be a team that's going to – Kentucky can get them to play in the mud. So I think that one's going to be a close one that will –
He's struggling just to get it out.
Because they're going to get my hopes up. It's going to be the fourth quarter, and I'm going to believe that they're going to do it. And then I'm going to get on YouTube after the game, and I'm going to – it happened again. Vollen Angel and old Bobbert McVall is going to be all up in my mentions. Just
That bookmark I get tagged in probably a million times a year. I've got it saved because I don't know when I'm going to use it, but it's coming.
The best story I heard about that clip too, which, you know, feel free to play on this video if you want to. But the best part was the guy who shoots our videos for us. He was meeting somebody. He said he was a Tennessee fan. He was a Kentucky fan. He's like, you know what? I just love Kentucky fans because y'all are crazy as hell. Let me show you something. And he pulls out that clip. It's like, this is the guy who shot it, and you're showing him the clip. That thing's never going to die until Kentucky goes and takes down the Vols at Neyland. That's going to be a great day.
Well, I think you jumped ahead because our whole week's coverage brought to you by MyBookie. They're our presenting sponsor, so we're asking everybody for their MyBookie bold take of the college football season. Could be Kentucky, could be anything SEC.
Ooh, okay.
You've given us a couple. You got another
one? Here's one that will perk your ears up. Sophomore slump for DJ Lagway. It's happening. Just for the whole team, because, I mean, Jaden Ball, like, they have a lot of guys who showed some great promise at the end of the year. But here's the thing, guys. A lot of that can be, we won the bowl game. Like, dude, come on. That's false momentum. And I know they won some big games. But Jackson Dart just completely melted down in that old, like, he was just seeing ghosts out there. So, as much as we talked about the Florida schedule last year, nobody's talking about it this year. It's just as challenging. And while I think Lagway, if you made me say, pick who's going to be the best quarterback 5 years from now in the NFL. I'm taking DJ Lagway, but you had the he's fragile. We saw in that Georgia game, he went out and they thought he broke. It was a real Paul Pierce situation. I thought they were going to have to take him off in a stretcher, but he ends up coming back and playing. And then you have the mysterious shoulder injury. Like, that can't be discounted. When you're not throwing for, what, 3 months in the offseason, that is a critical offseason, is between your first year as a starter and then your second. I really like DJ Lagway long term, but I think a sophomore slump's coming, and the Gators aren't going to be. They're going to be calling for him Sun Belt Billy by the end of the season.
Bowl game? Think they'll make a bowl?
Yeah.
I mean, they're 6.5. I think it's the win total Vegas has got them at.
They're 6-16.
6-6.
They're 6-16.
Florida Gators, yeah. 6-6.
Man, he's thrown Florida, okay. Tennessee, South.
Keep going.
The only one he didn't throw under the bus is Missouri.
Yeah, I hadn't done that because they're not really relevant, you know. Oh, you got a weak schedule. I got to say, though, the fact that they can win they can have 3 straight 10-win seasons, and it will be the most blasé, just, you know. I mean, that schedule is so weak. And my thing, too, is, like, Prabula will – I mean, he kind of looks like a carbon copy of Brady Cook with his ability to use his legs. And I know they've recruited well. They still will recruit from Kentucky at the 11th hour. Marquise Davis, really talented freshman. And, damn it, I really wanted that running back, too, in Ahmad Hardy. So they're going to be just fine because they can run the ball with Hardy and Prabula doing all that stuff. But they're not going to be anything that just really wows you. So I don't have to get the bus up to back it over drink, you know. Just fine. They're just going
to
be fine.
Before you go, Dick, tell our audience, I don't know if they want to, but how to follow you and how to find
your work. Just come on. We got more great takes, Roush KSR and KentuckySportsRadio.com. Plenty of content. We're burning, turning, and churning. Even if you want to hate watch, please. We will take the views just the same.
And I don't think there's anyone that reaches out to me more after a Feinbaum appearance than Nick Roush in his reactions to them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I love the – I love some of the – oh, gosh. He's playing it now.
I just can't get enough of it, man. Get bent.
Get bent.
Perfect. I think that's a good place to get it.